Ever feel like you suck at this job? Motherhood, I mean. Have too much anxiety and not enough patience? Too much yelling, not enough play? There's no manual, no village, no guarantees. The stakes are high. We want so badly to get it right. But this is survival mode. We're just trying to make it to bedtime. So if you're full of mom guilt, your temper scares you, you feel like you're screwing everything up, and you're afraid to admit any of those things out loud, this podcast is for you. This is Failing Motherhood. I'm Danielle Bettman, and each week we'll chat with a mom ready to be real, sharing her insecurities, her fears, her failures, and her wins. We do not have it all figured out. That's not the goal. The goal is to remind you, you are the mom your kids need. They need what you have, you are good enough, and you're not alone. I hope you pop in earbuds, somehow sneak away, and get ready to hear some hope from the trenches. You belong here, friend. We're so glad you're here. Hey, friends, it's Danielle. This episode is going to dive really deep all into everything back to school. I don't know where you live, what COVID variants are near you, if you have gone back to the office, or if you are still at home with babies. I know that the insight in this episode is going to apply to you. I'm going to try to cover the main goals that we need to keep at the forefront of this stage and this transition of change for our kids and for ourselves, and hopefully put you a little bit at ease, because you are a good parent if you're worried about things that matter, which is knowing that your kids are having stress, they are feeling anxious, and you want to support them, which I love, which is why I am all about you as a listener. You are such a good parent. Thank you. Thank you for your support. I am excited to dive into this episode, but right before I do, I want to let you know this is coming out on August 10th, but on August 26th at 8 p.m. Central, I have a masterclass, and I haven't done a masterclass for a long time, and this is my Calm Mom, Calm Home masterclass that I am so excited to. I've completely redone it, and I cannot wait to dive into more of the positive discipline tools that I have been certified in over this summer, and I just want to come alongside you if you really want to stop this vicious cycle you find yourself in of threats and bribes to get any cooperation, and you're overwhelmed by the big emotions that you have in your house, both your kids and from you, and you really just want to get a handle on your patience and feel like you're showing up better and more aligned with how you want to be parenting, then this masterclass is for you. We are going to cover how to use the tools of positive discipline to make it a whole lot easier to be patient, what's actually igniting your mom rage and how to tame those flames, how to harness the power of your mindset and squash that imposter syndrome once and for all, and my step-by-step process to addressing toy overwhelm and how to live with less with kids. So if you want to maximize your sanity this fall, through this process of supporting your kids through all this change and doing the hardest job in the world with very little support in a pandemic, then this masterclass is for you. You will not want to miss it. I'm going to put the link to sign up in the show notes of this episode. And if you aren't on my email list already, it's a great way to hop on so you know when I am offering any of these free resources in the future. But I am all about helping moms feel a lot more clear and confident on what they're doing is the right fit for the child in front of them, and helping them feel like the expert in their child, helping them feel like they're not helpless and out of control in these hard moments. And I know that that's possible for you. It is when you say yes to your family and you seek out a free resource like this to be able to come alongside you. So I can't wait to see you there, and until I do, I want to help you weather this back-to-school transition, so let's go ahead and dive in. Okay, so whether you are bringing a child to preschool for the first time, whether you are going back to any type of a daycare setting or sending your kindergartner off for the very first time, or you just have some elementary schoolers that are maybe transitioning back from virtual learning or going back to school like they were last year, you have two main goals right now. Number one, actually, let's go with three. Three main goals. First goal is to regulate your own stress and anxiety. And I wanted to throw that one out there because our kids thrive off our vibe. Of course, you feel nervous. Of course, there are genuine safety concerns, unknowns, things to worry about as a parent. Of course, because you care. So you're worried about the right things. However, our kids are looking to us saying, please help life make sense. Please reassure me that everything will be okay. And we do need to help them feel confident that we believe they are going to a safe place, that we trust their teachers, and that we know that they can do this. And whether or not you have to kind of fake that in the moment and then go home and cry, that's okay. But try as best you can to keep at least in check your own fears and anxiety and take care of those as best you can, because they are not responsible for your emotions. They are only responsible for their own, and it is our job to show up and help them with theirs. So that's my disclaimer number one. Number one goal is regulate your own emotions right now as best you can, in any way you can. Number two, we want to help our kids feel in control of these changes and transitions as much as possible. And with COVID, this is even more crucial. So they know that, you know, that changes are happening. In any type of transition, that's when things fall off the rails and our kids tend to have a hard time because things feel ambiguous, things feel unknown, there's a lack of structure. They just want life to make sense. So we want to be able to be there for them and give them tools to feel more like life makes sense. So if the theme of this episode is probably going to be, make it make sense, Mom. So the number one tool that I recommend for all of my clients is to have a weekly calendar for your kids. A really, really, really simple, plain picture schedule that has Sunday through Saturday that allows them to see which days are school days, which days are home days, when we go to swim lessons, when we see grandma, and their ability of time really sits between today, yesterday, and tomorrow. But they wake up every single day having no idea what's going on. And if I did that, I would be anxiety ridden because I check my calendar constantly so that I feel like I know what's coming up so I can anticipate it. And kids are ready to do that at the age of two or three already. So find a dry erase calendar, make one with printable clip art, or invest in the awesome tools that Sarah Olscher from Mighty and Bright created in the episode about talking about hard things. Failing Motherhood, I'll link that in the show notes as well. Her calendars have little buttons that are customizable that allow you to create something that's super cute with her illustrations if you're wanting to go that route as well. But put that into place so that they understand what the new schedule looks like. Then you can go an extra step and support your morning routine by having a picture schedule for all of the things you need to do to get out the door. Keep that down to about five things, but make it really obvious. First, we get dressed, then we have breakfast, then we brush teeth, then we get our backpack. So put those things on a small, simple little sheet of paper that you can laminate or you can just put on the wall, and then help them refer back to that tool so that, and you know, make it together even, because then they have more ownership over it. And then be able to remind them, okay, go check your chart, see what's next. You tell me which one do you want to do next. And let them know that they're in charge of reminding themselves rather than constantly being that nagging voice or broken record in the back of their head. And when you put these tools in place, you are making your environment work for you rather than against you. And you are creating much more of a collaborative effort to get ready and to weather these changes than you are creating taking all of the pressure and responsibility on yourself to remember everything and to make everybody do everything. And that is just too much, right? We've done it and we've failed. So put those two tools in place to work for you, as well as finding a lot of books to support you in having the conversations that allow you to be accessible and available to have open, honest communication about what's happening right now. Whether your child is 3 or whether they are 9, they have questions that they might not be asking, or they might be wondering and not having all of the information. And our brain, as a safety mechanism, wants everything to make sense, so it fills in the gaps and makes assumptions so that there's a whole cohesive story. The problem with kids is that their perception may not be accurate, and so they start to make inaccurate assumptions and base their beliefs and their actions off of things that are not accurate representations of reality. So we want to make sure that we're filling in the gaps as much as possible and giving them as much information as we have so that they can feel like they have answers to their questions and that they can trust us and come to us with more down the road. So using a book to start that conversation can be such a helpful way to bring up things that may not have come up before, but now that we're talking about it, let's go into more detail, let's answer more questions. And so there's great books if you don't have time right now before school starts to find them at your local library or order them on Amazon. Don't worry, go to YouTube and just search Back to School Read Alouds, and there will be videos you can watch together that is the same heart behind it. It's a great opportunity to just bond over a little bit of screen time, and that's fine. A parent coach told you to do it. So find some great books. My favorites are The Invisible String and The Kissing Hand. So another thing that is going to help with as a tool to back you up is having a separation anxiety tool to help bridge this transition, because separation anxiety is going to be harder this year. It's hard every year, but this year our kids have had less social exposure, so there may be heightened anxiety from being around mom, way more than usual. Or there just might be unknowns with, wearing masks or other things that are going on. And so they're going to have a hard time when they say goodbye. So two practical steps with that. Number one, give them a tool that reminds them of home that they can keep with them throughout the day, but not be like a giant stuffed animal that's distracting and the teacher is going to look at you with those eyes. But just give them like a hair tie. Like if you usually keep a hair tie on your wrist, give them your hair tie for the morning for them to wear on their wrist or put in their backpack and say, when you miss me today, take out the hair tie, rub it, know that I'm thinking about you, and just let them know that there is a piece of you that stays in their heart for the day whenever you're separated. Another practical recommendation is to create a simple goodbye ritual. And that is as simple as every morning when you send them off to school, you give them a hug first and then a kiss and then a high five. And that's your goodbye ritual. Or you always say the same thing back and forth to each other. Or you always remind them of the same things on the way to school. Some sort of ritual that is the same every time is incredibly reassuring in a moment that you have to kind of rip the band-aid of that separation. So having a goodbye ritual that you practice ahead of time and then do every morning is going to reassure both of you. So to recap some of those tools, a weekly calendar, a morning routine picture schedule, a separation anxiety tool like giving them your hair tie, and then having a goodbye ritual. That's all going to help with helping them feel in control of this change and this transition while you are taking care of your own well-being and processing your own emotional journey through this process. Now, the third goal that we want to have right now Again, number one is our own emotions. Number two is helping them feel in control. And number three is helping them find belonging in their new environment. So you're going to build on prior knowledge and experience and let them know what is going to be different about this school year based on what they've done before and what is going to be the same as before. Whether you can visit the school ahead of time, go to an open house night, look up pictures of the school, of the teacher, tell them what friends are going to be in the class. Anything that you can do that helps them understand, okay, this is going to be a little bit different this time, but this is still going to be the same. Remind them of the things that are going to be the same about, you know, the day, about that they'll still come home, we'll still have snack, we'll still have all of these things that stay the same. Focus on that. Focus on all the things they can control, like what they wear that day, which backpack they use, what they pack for lunch, what you do right after school. Focus on all the things they have control over, and that's going to help them feel like they can handle this change. Now, finding belonging is what the teacher or, you know, care provider is going to pick that up where you left off and be able to help them feel at home, help them understand the new expectations, walk them through their new environment, show them where their backpack goes, show them, you know, where their nap mat is, all of those things. That's where you partner with school and then help communicate as much as possible with anything else that you need to share with them about your child and vice versa, so that you can reiterate that conversation at home and really help them feel like they have an important role in this new classroom, in this new environment, that, you know, their friends miss them if they're not going to be there. And you can't wait to see how they help with the watering plants job, you know, that they get to have next week, or just really helping them feel like they are an important piece in this new place and they can contribute and have a important relationships that they can thrive in this new environment. Now, all of that to say, stress is coming. Kids are anxious. What do you do? I had so many great suggestions of questions and things to cover in this episode. That was from my Facebook group, Parenting Wholeheartedly. If you're not a part of that, go request it now. Moms were wondering how to help them ease their nerves, how to help them with their stress, how to help them relieve their extra stress, helping them adjust to this new schedule. And the main thing that I want you to know is you don't have to fix all their problems. You just have to give them the space and the tools to process these big emotions themselves. And the way that you do that best is by anticipating them and expecting them, not being blindsided by, oh my gosh, what is this meltdown coming from at 3:30 after the first day of school? That is going to come. They are going to be extra tired. They are going to have held it together all day and not felt safe enough or comfortable enough to, you know, talk to their teacher about what was bothering them or eat the lunch because they were kind of nervous too. And so they're going to come home hangry. They're going to come home overwhelmed, and they're going to take that out on you if you are a proven, trusted, credible, safe person in their life. So don't be blindsided by the extra meltdowns that are to come. They are to come because that is normal. They are looking for help in being able to manage these big overwhelming feelings and get to the other side. And you're there to help them know it's normal. It's okay to feel that way. It's, you know, okay to feel overwhelmed, but we always keep that boundary of not being hurtful. I will help you control your body if you can't. I will help you find next steps of ways to calm down. I will help talk to you about things and circle back at bedtime. I will help you set you up for success in the morning. All of those things you can do as their parent, but they still need to live their own life, learn their own lessons, and be able to weather these new environments without us. And so know that, like, ripping the Band-Aid type goodbyes are the best kind, even if it's hard on your heart. That is what's best for them because it shows that you completely trust them and the environment, and you know that they're going to be okay. And most likely within 5 to 7 minutes, they will be, even if it's hard. But know that the stress and the overwhelm and the anxiety in kids is usually comes out through a meltdown later about something unrelated, like the color cup you give them at dinner. And just know that that's coming. Be ready for it so that you have your game face to help them weather it when they need you most. So that means that you need to have sleep and you need to have gotten a break and be taking care of yourself so that you're ready to help them in that moment. But the extra anxiety, the extra stress that they're experiencing, it will subside pretty quickly because they adapt to new environments pretty well when they know that they have a supportive person that is walking alongside them through this transition. So know that whatever decision you made for school this fall is the right one for your child with the information that you have to make that decision, and you need to trust yourself and trust them that you're both going to be okay. I know that that's hard in a pandemic, and I'm not saying that like it's, you know, a toxic positivity thing. I'm saying genuinely do what you need to do to feel okay. And there are steps to take to support yourself and to support them. And it all really comes down to a feeling of hope for the future. And if you aren't feeling that right now, ask for help, even if that brings up feelings of overwhelm and shame in you. Push through that for your child. But know that if and when a problem, you know, occurs down the road, you will figure it out. You will find the resources to support you. You will be able to weather it because motherhood and parenting taps into untapped resources you didn't even know were there inside your own tenacity and your own determination and your energy levels you didn't know that you could even attain. So I know that you can do it, and you need to know that you can do it, and I am just here for you to support you and to genuinely cheer you on in this hardest job in the world, the most important thing that you can invest your time and energy into. And I know if you're listening to a resource like this, your family matters to you. Your family is your greatest investment, and that will show, that will pay off, and that will matter. And your kids are lucky. They're lucky to have you seeking out resources like this. So I know in a year when, you know, moms aren't maybe allowed into the school or you're just feeling really uncertain, make sure that you are building up any type of support that you can around yourself, whether that is just saying no to an added responsibility in this season or being able to, you know, partner with a friend to carpool or whatever that looks like for you. Ask yourself, what do you need? And then prioritize your well-being so that you can be there and to support your parent-child relationship as well as you'd like to. So if that means that you need to watch my masterclass, then go sign up for that. That is going to be August 26th, again, at 8 p.m. Central. The link is in the show notes. If you feel like now is the time to go back to school for positive parenting, if you feel like if everybody else is going back to school, how much more worthwhile would be spending your time on a college class on, you know, positive discipline rather than whatever baloney college courses you took years ago that have no relevancy to your current life, then let's talk. Let's talk about how to make that happen for you and your family and schedule a free Sanity and Solutions call so that I can hear more about what your family is struggling with and point you in the direction of more resources that will support you. Because if you are anywhere near your wit's end, there is no reason to wait until tomorrow. Reach out today, get it on your calendar, and you will automatically feel better knowing that there is a next step in place and there will be a plan to follow. And you're not alone. You're not alone in this parenting journey of trying to handle all of these big decisions and having all of this influence and feeling like you're the only one to know what's right. You don't have to feel that way. You are not alone. You are doing the best you can. You are the parent that your kids need because You will figure it out, and you will support yourself and your family with the resources that make it happen. That does not mean that you came into this naturally with all of it figured out, all of these boundaries and emotional, social, emotional things figured out for your child, and you're just like mastering them like Yoda. That does not happen. That's none of us, okay? So go back and listen to the episode on why parenting doesn't come naturally if you find yourself covering yourself in shoulds. But I know that because we all are the experts on our kids, we can pair that with even more awareness and tools in our toolkit and be able to pull from that bag and find the right ones for the moment of each season that we weather. And every kid is different. So what works for your first kid is probably not working for your second. And if that's true, reach out as well. Because yeah, kind of have to start over from scratch, especially with these strong-willed ones. But anyway, I'll wrap this up. Sign up for the Calm Mom, Calm Home Masterclass and let me know if there is a way that I can support you through this season of change, even more than just this episode. And let me know you're listening to the podcast. If we're connected on Instagram, I'm at @parent_wholeheartedly. Send me a DM that you're enjoying the podcast and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this. It's so appreciative. And I just messaged a mom the other day who Googled motherhood in Apple Podcasts and failing motherhood popped up. And like, that is the algorithm working for us. And that is only made possible through the reviews that you leave. So thanks again for your support. And I'm just so glad that you are listening and that you are spending your time in a way that serves your kids so much, and know that you're doing a good job. Thanks for coming on this journey with me. I believe in you, and I'm cheering you on.